Greetings and welcome to the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain show. My name is Troika Saint Germain and I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. This is my first show on BBS Radio. I look forward to many, many more and to getting to meet all of you. And I want to welcome my listeners from my previous show over to BBC. I think you'll enjoy it over here a lot more. I know I do already. My intent for this program is to have a very interactive call-in show. I really, truly love it for people to call in and ask me questions. You can ask questions about Ascended Master Saint Germain or how to use the violet flame, methods and tips on ascension, immortality, rejuvenation, what your favorite movie is, who the hell I am. I mean, I really, you know, anything that you want to ask, if it's out of line, I'll let you know, but so far I've never said that to anybody. You know, everybody receives information from those of us that claim to be messengers or channels or intuitives or whatever title someone selects for themselves. We all receive our information differently and in a unique way unto us. And I'm at my best in receiving communication from Ascended Master Saint Germain and others in the higher realms when somebody asks me a question. The information just, I may think as they're asking the question, God, I don't know anything about this, and boom, the minute their question is done, information just starts flowing out of my mouth, and I'm amazed. I listen and learn from it too, but it's much more so, the information, you know, comes out much more so and very spontaneous and very in the present moment that way. Rather than when I try to give a lecture or just talk into a radio microphone like this without feedback from the audience. You know, I don't know what you want to know. I don't know what your interest is. I don't know where your level of experience or knowledge is. And so it's difficult for me to just start rambling on, which I tend to do, without knowing. So that's why questions are so great, and I really encourage you, you know, to call in during the show. You can ask questions, make a comment, just say hello, or heaveno, as the case may be. And don't worry, because both Saint Germain and I have an outrageous sense of humor. We have heard it all, believe me, most of which I've also done. So don't be shy. Just call in. And the toll-free numbers for the call, to call in, are, if you're in the United States, the phone number is 877-876-5227. If you're calling from within Canada, you want to call 888-810-8322. For those that are international other than Canada, sorry, you have to pay for the call. The number would be the American code, which I believe is 01-530-876-3222. And that's also a local number for those that are in Paradise, California. Wouldn't you love to live in Paradise? I have to go visit that place someday and see if I truly do want to live in Paradise. I live in Mount Shasta, California right now, and some people consider that Paradise, so it's probably a good trade-off. So also with this show, from time to time, I expect to have guests. I will have guests on the show, mainly my friends, but I have very interesting friends. And there will be people that will be of interest to you. Oh, and that's one rule about questions. I only have one rule about the questions, that they be of general interest to everybody. And something that would be of general interest to everybody is something that isn't totally personal to you. Hello?
Troika?
There's a beep.
Hey. Aloha.
Aloha?
Yeah, really.
Is this Jeffrey?
Yeah, hi, dear.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Is your show on a delay? Is that how you do it?
No, we're live right now.
Oh, because I'm listening to you on the phone, but I'm hearing something different on my computer.
Oh, well, there might be a delay. I don't know. I'm not at the computer. I'm just hearing you. But, I mean, it's a live show. How are things
are
in Kauai?
Now?
How's Kauai?
Yeah. Are we live now?
We're live now. Don't listen to your computer. Just listen to me.
Okay.
Because
now I just heard. I guess there is a little bit of delay, so
yeah.
I guess I should just talk to you. Oh, hi.
Hi, aloha.
I think I'd get on so soon. Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you. Much better station than the last one.
I thought I'd have a little bit of a warm-up, but I guess what I want to talk about is, I guess we're sort of in a six-pack kind of countdown, 6 years till 2012, which you can look at from many different angles. So, using violet ray tools and, you know, what St. Germain's Troika's wisdom and take and shake and shake and bake on the thing. And what can you share with us all?
Well, that's a good question. There's a rumor going around that we have sped up so much that 2012 is no longer 2012, that 2012 might just be 2007.
Feels like a good year for some change.
Well, it ends in 7, and it adds up to a 9, which is completion.
Tell me more.
Saint Germain hasn't given me real strong verification about that because, you know, as you know, the Ascended Masters can't really give us dates and times because those of us that are in the third dimension right now are really in control of the timing. They can just kind of watch and guide us and give us suggestions on how to achieve what we want to achieve. And
a lot of flexibility in the matrix.
Yes, and how to bring, you know, how to increase our frequency and vibration and therefore increase the planet's frequency and vibration. But there's so much free will and there's so many wild cards out there that they don't want to mislead us and say, oh, on such and such a date, on such and such a year, you know, this and that is going to happen, and this is the way it's going to happen. They don't know. They're kind of watching along with us to see where the zigs and the zags go. But so I can't verify 100% that 2007 is the new 2012. But at any rate, it's somewhere between now and 2012.
Do you see patterns that we could look for in terms of maybe some, you know, like excellent events or ways for the collective attention to move collective will and, you know, and or we just go along for the ride, depending on what level we're hanging out at, right?
Well, you know, there's always these special dates that appear. But it usually happens on the internet. There'll be some big email campaign where somebody along the line will declare a certain day and a certain time for a world peace meditation or a raising of the frequency event or. You know, the masters say, blah, 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 this is going to happen, and we're in this window, and let's take advantage of it. In reality, those aren't really necessarily true, but because we, as a collective consciousness, decide and agree that it is the truth, it therefore becomes the truth.
Yeah,
so,
it's great when the essence is in alignment to bring about the form that aligns with the essence.
Yes, except we're the ones that really create the form. We think it's the other way around, but it's our agreement that, like when Solara started the 11-11, you know, we've had 11-11 on the calendar forever, but it was never thought of as a special gateway or anything unique until Solara brought that thought forth.
Well, actually, it's always been my mother's birthday, so I was, like, keen on an 11-11 thing since.
And my mother's birthday is Halloween.
Yeah. It just became much more important hearing it, you know.
Oh, that's, we both have Scorpio mothers.
Yep.
Wow. intense.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, with the 11-11, only Solara's 11 is January 11th. I don't know where what she does with that extra one, but at any rate, all of a sudden 11-11 became a big deal. And because we believed it and we agreed to it. And so now, because we have given that special consideration to that date and we hold it as a special time period, it indeed has become so. So in answer to your question about what we can do to perpetuate it is jump on these dates and the more dates that we have, I mean, what we really should be doing is thinking of every single day of our life, every minute of our life, as that special, unique gateway to the next dimension. Because
here.
In truth, every minute, every second is.
Now.
Yes.
Now.
It's now.
Thank you for the gift of the present. So, let's all take a breath.
With that attitude, you know, of how we look at our lives and how we look at time, we will create a new time and a new matrix.
Well, from the island of Kauai, if this was scratch and sniff radio, I send you a beautiful paradise breeze with plumeria fragrance.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. Trying to transmit it right now.
Got it.
Plumeria, this is the dawning of the
age of Plumeria.
Something like that, yeah.
I just had such a great time in Kauai, and it was so wonderful seeing you again after 14 years. And Carol, I want to come back to Kauai.
It's a beautiful place. Please
come
back.
It is. It's a wonderful place. I felt very much at home there.
Yeah. Home, yeah, it's a key word here, home, and ohana, which is the Hawaiian word for family,
mm-hmm.
and kukua, which is the word for cooperation and comfort and aid, which interesting in the Hawaiian version of the Bible, of the New Testament, they use kukua for the Holy Spirit, the comforter.
Mm-hmm.
Mahalo for your kukua. Thank you for your good spirit. So I bid you farewell. Aloha.
Mahalo to you. Aloha.
Mahalo nui loa. See you again soon.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Jeff.
Indeed. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye. Okay. Well, that was wonderful. I met Jeff and his darling wife, who wasn't his wife at the time. They met through the same thing. We were all kind of studying with a teacher, and we had these great retreats and reading classes, and yes?
Hello. This is Nancy from Olympia, Washington.
Hi, Nancy. Have I spoken to you before?
No, never before.
Oh, well, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great. What can I do for you?
Well, I would like to learn how to work with the violet flame.
Excellent.
It was suggested by one of my healing circles that I should be working with that.
We all should be working with it. It's really a wonderful thing. What do you know about the violet flame? What's your understanding of it?
Not too much. I just found your website, so I haven't had a chance to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the start of it is very exciting.
Okay.
So I know nothing.
Okay. Well, good. Now I know where to start. At the beginning. Well, the violet flame is an actual, real fire. It's an interdimensional. It's on a higher frequency than our third dimensional circumstances here.
Okay.
Than our. It's just right out of the range of our vision. But I have seen it. Every once in a while, if you get into the zone and you're in a higher frequency state, you can see it. And I've taken photographs of it, not seeing it at the time I'm taking the photograph, but then coming back and developing the film, and there's the violet flame right in the middle of the picture. It's really incredible.
Oh, how cool.
It is. It's really cool. So it looks just like our fire. you know, it flickers and you know, like a, like if you're looking at a, what do you call it, a fireplace, you know, sitting home with your feet up on the hammock or something, the hassock or whatever it's called, and you're watching the fireplace and how the flames flicker, and it's, there's that blue flame at the bottom, and then it turns into kind of a white, and then it gets yellow, and then it gets more orangey, and it's got all those different colors flicking through.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what the violet flame looks like, except just change the color scheme into that of like a hot pink, like a, almost like a fuchsia hot pink, going into lavenders and violets and into, you know, deep purples and just all those colors flickering back and forth. And what the violet flame is, it's always been around, but it has been a secret teaching up until about 1953.
Uh-huh.
And or maybe a little bit before that, maybe about the 1920s or late, you know, late 20s, early 30s. It was only known to adepts and people that were just about to do ascension or transfiguration, and it was revealed to them by their master, their teacher, right before they made the ascension, because no matter how high of a frequency or vibration that you have, how much you've worked with yourself, how clear you are, how ready you are to step over into the higher realms, you have to go through the violet flame to get there. So it's like a big purification, it's like a final purification portal. And even Jesus had to go through the violet flame to transfigure and to ascend. Even though he was already a master when he came to the planet, you still have to go through the violet flame. So people like, you know, Jesus and Kutumi and El Moria, if you know who different ascended masters are, they all went through the violet flame.
Uh-huh.
And they would learn about it, you know, anywhere from a month to a minute before they crossed over. And In the early part of the last century, in the early 1900s, Saint Germain, because he's the Lord of the Seventh Ray, and the Seventh Ray is the color violet, so the violet flame is sort of within his dominion or his area of within his ray. Every ray has a flame, depending on the, that corresponds with the color of that ray. Like the fourth ray, which is the green ray, has the emerald ray, the emerald flame. And that has a different purpose than the violet flame. What the violet flame's purpose is total transmutation of anything and everything that is not of the highest realm. And transmutation is more than just getting rid of something or clearing it. Transmutation takes, it's like the concept of turning lead into gold. It takes a negative and it turns it into the really high, divine, powerful energy and the highest light. And so Saint Germain petitioned the karmic board and the hierarchy and whoever's in charge of whatever. That's all kind of concepts. Some people, you know, have it all written down. So and so's this and this is that, and you know, like elected offices. And I think everything kind of blurs a little bit. So I don't go real strict by all these rules and regulations, because that's just kind of for our benefit on this side. On the other side, they really don't do that. They do it that way, you know. So he asked if he could, if it could be now revealed to people still on the planet, how to use the violet flame rather than waiting till lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes went by for each one of us till we got to the point where we were going to really get off the wheel of karma and ascend into the higher realms. He said, if we give it to them now, they'll do it faster. And, you know, and it, their life, they won't have to have so many lifetimes. And they can use it as a tool to enhance their life as they're using it. So that was granted to him, to be able to bring the teaching and the understanding and the knowledge to all of us now. And it is a tremendous, incredible gift, because the violet flame is so strong, and it can transmute anything and everything. And there's so many different ways to use it. The best way to start out using it is to use it on yourself. And then as you get comfortable using it with yourself and you've seen the effects and all, then you start using it on things, on other things. You can violet flame the entire planet, you know, and ask for a transmutation of wars and disease and conflicts and what's that word? And, you know, environmental pollution.
Uh-huh.
You know, anything. The thing is when you're doing the world, or you're violet flaming another person or a condition outside of yourself, you have to stay within the bounds of respecting their personal growth and their preferences. Not everybody wants to change.
Uh-huh.
So if you're
right.
If you're asking for their karma to be released, or for them to no longer have an illness or something like that, you have to be real careful how you word it so that you're not overriding their free will. You have to say, you know, with and in that case, it's best to give the violet flame to that person's higher self, so the higher self can use it as they know best to do it. But for yourself, because you have total dominion over who you are and your karma and what you want and what you don't want in your life, the sky's the limit. You know, the violet flame is only limited by your imagination. So a very simple, takes a second to do, way of working with the violet flame, I'm going to give to you right now. I'm going to talk it through. I'm going to explain it more in detail than you really need to know, so that you get the whole, you know, the whole concept behind it and the knowledge behind it of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I'm going to give you a visualization to help you remember what to do and how to do it. And some people are very visual and they do see things in their mind's eye. Other people are not. It does not matter if you're visual or not. It's just, if you just imagine it happens just as deeply and just as perfectly as those people that can see it. You know, you're not,
okay.
It's not a handicap not to see it.
Okay.
So what you do, or, you know, this is the way I do it all the time. You know, my basic, this to me is Violet Flame 101.
Okay.
And I just sit comfortably in a chair, or I'm laying in my bed. I do it before I go to sleep, and I do it when I first wake up in the morning, and I just do it while I'm laying in bed, you know. But, you know, also just sitting in a chair is a great way. And I just start out saying, deity of your choice, you know, dear God, you know, Father God, Mother God, Goddess, you know, Allah, I Am Presence, you know, my higher self, the source, whatever word means God to you, or the ultimate, you know, power source. You start out with that, you know, dear, fill in the blank, deity of choice. Please make manifest inside me now the violet flame, and bring the violet flame into my body, into every cell and every molecule within my body. That's your thought and your intention. I'm breaking in now. That's your thought and your intention and calling it in. The way you can kind of visualize it is this, you know, the violet flame comes in basically in two directions. It comes from above down through your crown and into your body. It also can come from the center of the earth up through your feet and into your body. Some people see it one way, some people see it the other way, some people see it coming both ways simultaneously. So whatever feels the most comfortable to you, visualizing either it coming in through your crown or coming up through your feet or coming in both directions is fine. But whichever way it comes, make sure it goes all the way through so that the visualization is you're standing on the earth and there's from way high above your head down deep into the earth is this tube of violet flame that goes through your body and is totally filling everywhere inside your skin. So, you know, at first I bring in the violet flame that way, and then once it's in my body or I've got that visualization or that sense of the two connecting, then I ask it to also go outside my body. So it's inside and out, kind of circling and kind of spinning in a spiral outside your, you know, from your feet to the top of your head on outside. It doesn't have to extend very far, you know, 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, whatever you feel, you know, going around you. So now you're encased and within the violet flame. So then, going back to what you say or what you think, would be what you want to transmute. And you can, this is where your imagination comes in. You can just very simply just say, please transmute anything and everything on all of my bodies in all dimensions, on all levels. That way you're covering parallel universes and past lives and all your bodies, your mental, your physical, your emotional, your spiritual. So, you know, all, anything and everything standing in my way of my divinity or my ascension or my transfiguration or my deepest growth, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, please transmute this. And then the visualization is you kind of imagine little gookies in us burning off, you know, and you've got little smoke and stuff coming up where that's being burnt off. And then you see the smoke. You ask for this now to be transmuted into, and you ask then what you want it to be transmuted into. My general Violet Flame 101 is to transmute things into the golden light of the Christ consciousness. And I call it that. So please transmute this into the golden light of the Christ consciousness. And then I say, the light of God that never fails. And then my visualization, and you know, you might see it a different way, is I kind of imagine the smoke going up into the ethers above my head, being turned into this incredible metallic golden light. It's not a mustard yellow or a gold like orange gold. It's like liquid 24 karat gold. It's metallic. It's a metallic light. And then I see that coming back into my body and filling my entire body. And then circling around the outside. And you want to keep that. You want to keep that gold there. So, you know, once you call it in and you feel it, then you just say thank you and, you know, and hold on to it. That's the real short way where you're just asking anything and everything. Zip, you know.
Uh-huh.
You can also get more detailed. I mean, when I first started doing it, I had like this whole laundry list, you know. Transmute all my karma, transmute any negative feelings, any negative emotions, you know, such as anger and frustration and lack of self-worth and blah, 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 you know, just on and on and on. And transmute my difficulties with so-and-so, you know, whoever I was fighting with at the time or something. Or, you know, I got real specific about stuff. But then, and you can do that. But then I came to realize that knowing the, if you've seen The Secret or have been hearing about the Law of Attraction, you know, then I started realizing, because I knew about the Law of Attraction a long time ago, and so I started realizing, well, wait a minute, you know, here with the Law of Attraction, we're supposed to talk about what we want to come to us, not what we don't want. So here every day in this high meditation, I'm saying anger, frustration, even though I'm saying transmute it, I'm still saying those words and thinking of those things as I'm doing it. So now I don't do it anymore. Now I'm more into the anything and everything that stands in my way of perfect radiant health, total and complete abundance and financial prosperity. You know, I'm rather than saying what I want to transmute from the negative side of the coin, I'm saying anything that stands in my way of achieving, and then I mentioned the positive thing that I want. So I'm still just saying those positive words and drawing that to me, but asking the obstacles or the things that need to be cleared, you know, that are standing in my way of achieving that or bringing it to the forefront of my life to be transmuted so that I can have those things. So, and it seems to be working a little better.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Yeah. And so the violet flame is like this cosmic eraser that just goes through and erases things. But what I always emphasize on people, and you know, there's a lot of books about the violet flame and some of the people that started working with the violet flame back in the 30s and the 40s have all these books with decrees in them, and they all rhyme about, you know, boil and tor, you know, and twist and blah, 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 and you know, and you're so, and they would get up and they would read these books, and I did it for a while. I used to do violet flame decrees for 2 and 3 hours a day, about 25 years ago, and
wow.
And you know, it worked somewhat, but you know what my experience was. I was so worried about saying the words right and reading the little book and this and that that it became a challenge in reading and recital rather than a deep, profound feeling of releasing things and transmuting things and raising frequency and vibration. All my attention was going towards trying to say it right. And I didn't always agree with the words. I mean, the words weren't written in a way that was part of me or part of my soul and spirit and my feeling. And you know, in one time when I don't talk to Saint Germain 24 hours a day, you know, he's not always here.
Huh?
Sometimes he's off saving the world. But but you know, there's times when I have really long conversations with him, and then there's times when I just have, you know, grunts and groans, just like man. And so, but this one time I was really asking him a lot about the violet flame and about decrees and working with it, and he said that he would much rather prefer, and that it's much more effective, for people to just get into the mindset and into that space of sincerity and feeling and the emotion of working with the violet flame and the deep desire, and just use your own words, you know, just, and don't worry about getting it absolutely right. He says just open your mouth and just start, you know, saying what your heart tells you to say when you're working with the violet flame. I mean, once you know the principles of it, of what it does, just let it come out. Because he said the same thing. He goes, the words that you're saying and all these little rhymes and all these, you know, things that you may not agree with or feel, just doesn't really serve any purpose. You know, it's the feeling in your heart, and it's your sincerity, and it's your intention of what you want that really is the compelling force of the violet flame. So the principles to know about the violet flame is that it does exist, that it does transmute things, and that if you don't tell it what, if you don't then direct what you want those holes that have been created by something being transmuted and burnt away, think of your aura as a piece of Swiss cheese at this point. If you don't fill those holes with what you want to go in them right then and there, you're leaving yourself open for any opportunistic energy, i.e. astral energy, or walking through a crowd and picking up somebody's, you know, two people are squabbling, you know, 3 feet from you, picking up that energy. You know, you need to fill that, you need to fill the space that you've created after using the violet flame. So once you know those principles, you know, your words can just flow how you want to say them. You can you can use the violet flame to transmute conflict between you and another person, whether they're alive or dead, whether they know about it or not. You just kind of, in a situation like that, you would just visualize you and them maybe sitting in a chair and your higher self standing behind you, and you violet flame the two of you. You just send the violet flame toward, you know, encase yourself in it, circle yourself in it, and then send it towards them and visualize it circling them. And what your intent is at that point is that you transmute the problem, that whatever is causing the difficulty that you're having with communicating with that person, from your standpoint. Everything's a co-creation, you know. It's never that other person is all wrong and I'm the innocent victim. That might be the game that two people might play, but it's not the truth. It's always a co-creation, and it takes two to tango, and you wouldn't be having that situation. And when I say you, I'm just speaking editorially you know, collective.
Right.
Someone would not be having that experience if it wasn't within them, too. You cannot attract something that isn't already a part of you.
Right.
So you want to ask the violet flame to transmute that is in you that is causing this conflict. And then you ask the other person's higher self that when that person is ready to transmute what it is in them, that the violet flame be available to them. Again, it's the free will it's the free will thing. You can't say to that, you can't ask, okay, I want that transmuted in that other person. They may not be through learning the lessons from it. They may not want to change. They might enjoy being an SOB, you know. I have friends that do. But the main thing is, once you clear it in yourself, then there's nothing from them. They can project all the conflict or the nitty-picky whatever that's going on between two people. They can keep trying to zing that out. But if there's not a magnet in you of what that is, it can't touch you anymore. But, you know, the cord is broken. The give and take is broken. So a lot of times we don't know consciously what we are doing to cause that conflict. And sometimes it's from a past life or, you know, an interdimensional kind of thing. So that's why using the violet flame is so beautiful. You don't need to know what it is. You don't have to go through 20 years of therapy to find, you know, and keep going back in your mind and peeling off the layers of the onion to get to the core thing. I mean, who's got time for all that? Just, you know, but the violet flame will know what it is and just release it. And transmute it into higher
wonderful
energy.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's great, and it really works. It works magically. And, you know, and then the thing that I always add to it is, you know, I put that little disclaimer I have found there's many loopholes even in spirituality. If you're not real specific about what you want and how, you know, you might be just missing the real benefit by an inch or so, you know. So it took me a long time to work this out, my little safety net catch-all. And that is to say, whenever you're asking for something to be transmuted or blessed or healed, I always say, on all dimensions, on all levels, through all time and space, past, present, and future. Because time is all, there is no such thing as time. We tend to think of present time is right now, and then we have our past and we have our future, and we only think that things from the past, we think linearly, so we think that things from the past can create what we are doing right now. We never think that the future can also be a cause of what we're doing. We always think of the future as something we're heading towards, but time is a spiral. So past, present, and future are all in one moment. So sometimes something that hasn't happened yet in our way of thinking can be the cause of what's going on now, as well as something in a past life.
Okay, so it's the dimensions, the all levels, and then time and space.
Yes, on all dimensions, on all levels, through all time and space, past, present, and future. So be it. Thank you, God.
Oh, yes.
Does that give you an idea of how to work with the violet flame? And
that was definitely a great 101 in the use of the violet flame. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And go hang out on my website and get on my mailing list. And
oh, I'm definitely going to. Thank you
so
much.
And one of these days I'll actually start mailing out things to people on my mailing list.
When the time is right, right?
Well, I was surprised because I don't get a notification when someone signs up. I have to go into the newsletter program to see. And I haven't had that website up that very long and stuff. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know that I wouldn't be getting notifications. So I didn't think that there was anybody there. And the other day, I went into the program, the newsletter program, and I went, oh my God, people have actually signed up, and I better start sending them something.
Oh my goodness, well, I'm going to definitely add my name to it.
Good, so I'll make it more of a conscious effort now to send out a little newsletter. You know where you can get, where I do write things, and I have, and I post sales for some of the products that Saint Germain and I have created together, and you know, and kind of little general information, is on onespirit.com, and it's not O-N-E, it's the digit one, spirit.com, and that's a website that I've had for 10 years, and it's sort of a directory. It's my website, but it's a collective of a lot of other people's websites. It's all different kind of spiritual teachers and healers and, you know, interesting group of people, a lot of which will be my guest on these things. But we do a newsletter every other month, and we're about to do a January one. And everybody within One Spirit, almost everybody, some people are lazy, but almost everybody writes a little something for the newsletter.
Uh-huh.
And so you get a real good potpourri of stuff. And it's real interesting. I'm the editor of the newspaper because it's my website. And I used to never write anything. I just was the editor. I never said a thing. And just recently I've been writing, you know, a little bit under editor's comments. But I don't tell people what to write, or I don't give them a subject matter. I just say, your articles are due, send them in. you know, and I just tell them, it's your platform, you know, use it any way that you want. And everyone has their own different writing style, and some people write really long articles, and some people just write a couple of sentences or a paragraph or two. But it never fails that at least 50% of the people write about the same thing from their perspective per issue. So you know that that's really up for everybody. And
right.
I just get so amused. I go, wow. And people think I coordinate that. I don't. It's just total spirit and just total spontaneous.
Yeah.
So go sign up. So sign up for my newsletter, because that'll be, you know, just specifically me, and I'll be saying things differently in there than I do in One Spirit. Because in One Spirit, I want the other people to really have, you know, the floor. I just write a paragraph or two.
Uh-huh.
But then sign up, too, for the One Spirit newsletter.
And okay, I'm doing the One Spirit one right now.
Yeah.
I just found it.
Yeah, good. So I'm so glad you called.
Oh, I'm glad I did, too. I'm glad I got through. This is awesome.
Well, did you have a hard time getting through?
No, I just...
Because this is my first show.
I tried to get through on
other ones. It's just my first show.
You know?
Nobody knows I'm doing this yet.
So this was great, and I can't thank you enough. I mean, you did such a great job. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you
have a...
What?
Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, before I start talking, Dawn, is there anyone else calling? Dawn, are you listening? No, the engineer is not even listening.
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, you're listening.
Absolutely.
Oh, such a nice voice you have.
Well, thank you.
So now I can actually go back to my... I did make 3 minutes worth of notes. I timed myself.
We're still on the air, though.
Opening the show.
We're still on the air?
I know we're still on the air.
Oh, okay.
So...
It's like we're having a private conversation on the air.
No, I'm just letting everyone else know, too, that I have to go back and find in my notes where I left off.
Okay,
before Jeff calls.
I'll put you back on. Or, I mean, I'll get off.
All right. Oh, here's where I left off. Okay. I was saying from time to time I'll have guests on the show, which I just told Norma, too, a lot of my friends. And you'll be able to call in and ask them questions, too. And in the meantime, in between calls and in between guests, I guess I'll just meander and ramble and share little tidbits of information as I think of it and some of my life experiences. Norma found my website. If you're on the radio show, you'll see a link to my website, ascensionstgermain.com. I really would love for everyone to go look at it, sign up on my newsletter, and I'll actually do a newsletter, and you'll be able to see, you know, a little bit more about me and the products, the different products that Jermaine has brought in. And hello.
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 Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Troika.
Who's this?
This is Paula.
Paula, I was going to say, is it Paula? Boy, this is Kauai night. The Mount Shasta Kauai ley line is in strong force tonight. Where are you, in Pennsylvania right now?
Yes.
How was Hawaii?
Oh, you know.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Wonderful, yes. Big Island was fabulous. Kauai always is.
Oh, you got to go. You went to the... Oh, that's right, because you went to visit your friends on the Big Island. Yeah.
Right.
In fact,
right.
I talked to you on the Big Island. Did you get to kiss a dolphin on the nose for me?
Oh, yeah, in the etheric anyway.
Oh, no, I want 3D.
You're going to have to do that yourself. Anyway, it was nice hearing your voice, and I was looking at the radio site and saw that you had a couple words there, and I thought maybe one of them I'd ask you to define it. But before I go to that, actually, while you were talking to the last person, it occurred to me that what we're doing with the violet flame is cosmic Ho'oponopono.
Okay, if you want to tell us what cosmic...
Have you heard that word before?
Koho Ono Pono.
Whatever it was. Here you go. For those who are listening who are definitely from Hawaii, it's Ho'o Ono Pono. Right.
And that's
a way of healing of challenges between people.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in Hawaii in the physical way when an elder sits with the two people are having a conflict and each, you know, they settle it there. But when we're doing Violet Flame, we're really doing it from a different level.
Right.
But, you know,
higher realm.
It sounded very cool.
Uh-huh.
So, and the other thing was, the word I wanted to have you talk about, if you would, is translate.
Translate? Okay.
Right. Yeah, transfiguration and translate.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear what that means to you.
Okay. They've always meant the same thing to me. However, a friend of mine the other night was correcting me and telling me that transfiguration and translation are slightly different from each other. So I don't really have that down pat, what the differences are,
mm-hmm.
or how one is different from the other. I'm working on it, but in my vocabulary,
uh-huh.
which I have my own dictionary, you know, I don't use the same one everyone else does. They mean the same thing to me. Transfiguration and translation means the same thing to me at this point. I might change my opinion down the line, but right now they mean the same thing. And what they mean is what most people think of as ascension. To me, ascension happens all the time. Ascension is anytime you have an aha moment or an epiphany or a change in feeling or thought, you know, any minute step or big step, you know, whatever, that leads you to a higher place than you were before. And so, but I know that most people, when they say, oh, I want to ascend, they're talking about turning their physical body into light and going into the higher dimensions without dying and leaving a physical body. That, to me, is transfiguration. Because ascension is something that happens all the time in little increments. And it can or cannot lead to transfiguration. Sometimes we don't have enough little ascension moments to get us into transfiguration in this lifetime. But that's what it really is, because you transfigure, you totally change your physical form when you go into light without dying a physical death.
Cool, thank you. I think you just explained the difference between the two.
Between translation and transfiguration?
Yeah, I think so.
Why, what's the difference?
Well, because I thought you said translation was the ascension moments, you know, those aha moments.
No, that's ascension.
Ascension is the
aha moment.
Okay.
Transfiguration is the physical thing that happens to your body to allow you to walk into light. What translation is, some people, I'm learning now that some people say translation is what I just described, you know, having your physical body reach such a high state of vibration and frequency that you are no longer, you're vibrating at such a high frequency that nobody can see you that's on the third dimension. So therefore, you're in the fourth and fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And you've achieved that dimensional shift without, you know, dropping the body. Some people say that's what translation is, and other people say that's what transfiguration is. And then if they're not using one word, I don't know what they mean by the other word. But to me, you know, they're kind of interchangeable words.
Okay. Sounds good. Nice to hear your voice. Thanks for the explanation.
You're welcome. When are you coming home?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday, okay.
Yep.
We'll
see you then.
We'll have to get together.
Huh? See you the next day.
Okay.
Wednesday. All right.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, good. I wanted to tell people what translation. See, this is why I love phone calls, because then I know what people really want to hear about, and these are all things that I do want to talk about and share, and it's great when somebody calls and asks. So, see, Paula lives in Mount Shasta now, but she's from Kauai, and I met her, I was in Kauai in August, and I met Paula's really, really good friend that lives on the Big Island, and she said, oh, you have to meet Paula, you and Paula will just hit it off great. And I said, oh, sure, I'd love to meet her. And she said, well, she's in Mount Shasta right now. And I said, Mount Shasta? I said, I live in Mount Shasta. And it was just so funny because Paula went to Mount Shasta and I went to Kauai during the exact same time period. It was like we just changed where we were. And, and there's my beeping. My show's technically over with. And then, shortly when I returned to Mount Shasta, by that time Paula was back in Kauai. I know my time's up.
Are you there?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Hi, Rika.
Yes.
Celestina.
Hi, you called.
I wanted to get right at the end. There's not a lot of time, but I...
Yeah, but you know there's nobody after me. I get to go over if I want.
Well, I just wanted the listeners to know that you are being listened to kind of internationally from Canada.
Well, Canada is another country. It's internation. It's an internation.
It is another country.
Huh?
It is another country.
Yes.
Yeah. So I very much enjoyed the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. So did I, because people called in.
Very natural, very flowing, and I've quite enjoyed it. And even though I've known you, just to be able to hear more of these other sides of you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, great. How are things going?
Things are going. We've had some more snow, more cold, but that's fine. And my cat's doing better. And, things are flowing, and... I think everything that's happening right now in so many ways, it's like the ho-no-popo or whatever the Hawaiian thing is.
I know.
Those things just keep coming round and coming round.
Yeah.
And I think we continually are being reminded that it is time to step into a total way of doing things that can be very different to the way we have been.
Mm-hmm.
And the shift really is upon us in so many ways. So,
yes, it certainly is.
Yeah. So I'm grateful. I'm incredibly grateful to be part of all this. And every time something looks like a challenge, it's just an opportunity.
It's never boring, is it?
It is never boring.
Well, I have a great opportunity because Tino's biopsy came back today. And
it did, eh?
And it's not the one I wanted to hear.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I don't
who knows
believe in
what
doctors.
The, who knows
anyway.
What the who knows what the journey is going to be around it. I mean,
yeah.
Don't know.
Well, what my mantra is these days is, this is the time of miracles. I believe in miracles.
Yeah.
I am asking for a miracle, and I expect a miracle.
Yeah.
So, that's where my
blessing. Yeah, blessings to you and to anybody else who's listening. Don Tino is a very beautiful, beautiful dog of Troika's, and definitely family, deep family. I've had the very great pleasure of meeting.
Yeah, he's definitely not your average dog.
No, not at all, not at all. And I do have one question. If we can go over a second,
well, we do. We get to go
question,
over.
And I saw a little bit about it. We've never really talked about your angelic Reiki.
Oh, uh huh.
I do Reiki myself, but I do the Usui system of Reiki. And I do see on your website you do talk about Metatron, and that Metatron's mm-hmm. involved in the Reiki work that you do.
Yes, it's a different form. It's a slightly different way of doing Reiki than
yeah.
the traditional Usui and even the Shambhala Reiki.
Yeah.
Because you don't do it yourself. Well, you don't do it yourself with regular Reiki, but you know, you're conscious in with the other methods. You're conscious of the symbols, and you kind of with your intention, you direct the symbols and you use mm-hmm. the symbols, and it's kind of your thought process that's doing it, and it's kind of been pre-written as to first you do this and then you do that, and then in this situation you do that, and it's for lack of a better term, and I don't mean to put it down at all, it's a formula. With angelic Reiki, when you go through the initiations and the, you know, becoming a master and all of that, you do get the symbols embedded in you, and these symbols are, you know, put into your hands and put into your crown and embedded in you, and you have a little bit of, you know, you have the surface understanding of what the symbols are, but that's about where it ends. That's the only similarity. After that, the way that an angelic Reiki session goes is you have two healing angels. When you go through the workshop and all of that, you get two healing angels that are yours. You know, they become part of you and are there when you do a session. And you do the session a little bit differently, you know, and you first you set the sacred space and you know, and you set the intention, and you do a hookup between you and the person, and there's little things that you kind of say in your head, and you know, to make sure that the intent is very clear. And then you call in these angels, and they literally come and step into your body from your back and become enmeshed in your body, and they're the one, and you just stand there and for the ride
mm-hmm.
and all this energy from the angels goes through you into your patient and or client or whatever you want to call them. Patient makes them sound like they're sick, and they're not, because nobody is. But into the person that you are sending the energy to, and the angels know what that person needs. They send the symbols that they want, and they send a whole lot more. And every session is totally different, and you just kind of get to experience it too, and you get that energy for yourself because it's going through you into the other person. And gosh, a lot of times, you know, an ascended master, a couple will show up and assist with it. Other times other angels come. I've had Archangel Michael come for one particular person, and I had Raphael comes quite often, and Jophiel and Christine, the two of them, came together for someone else. And I've had Dwal Kool show up, and the Blessed Mother Mary, and Kuan Yin, and of course Saint Germain, and sometimes, you know, these little beings of light that I don't have a name for them. I don't, you know, they're just
mm-hmm.
balls of just incredible big balls of light and stuff. So it's a little bit different. It's kind of a combination of Reiki and just channeling the pure God energy. That's how I describe it to me. So it's fun.
Well, yeah. Well,
and it came, and I didn't create it. It it came, the whole system and the process and Metatron came through a man in England. Well, he used to live in England. He's English. He lived in England up until a year ago when he moved to Egypt. And his name is Kevin Kaur. And he was just kind of a blue-collar sort of guy. And then started waking up to spirituality and woke. He was one of those kind that woke up really fast. And Metatron just kind of showed up and gave him this whole healing system.
Did you meet him in Mount Shasta?
No. Oh, what? I'm sorry. Did I meet him in Mount Shasta?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I met him over the internet before that. And he approached me by email, you know, asking if, oh, I know, he joined One Spirit. He joined One Spirit, and I host his websites for him.
Okay.
And then he said that he wanted to come to the United States and introduce Angelic Reiki to the United States, and would I host a workshop for him? So I said, sure. So I pulled together and I don't host website. I don't host things for too many people. You were one.
Yeah.
And you and Kevin and my friend Sayon, you're the only three that I've done.
Oh.
And so I set up a workshop for Kevin and that was Reiki 1. And he does the Angelic Reiki 1 and 2 in one class, and then 3 and 4 in a second. So you only take the two classes. You don't have to take... Some Reiki people have to take 10 to become a master. But he does it in the two. And they're three-day workshops, and they're just really action-packed and really incredible. And, you know, there's a lot of information that's imparted, and a lot of initiation, and then trading off and practicing on each other, and the workshops are just fabulous. So the first one he came here, I went through it, and so I had the one and two, you know, the beginning one, and then he came back I think 7 or 8 months later. It was within the same year.
Mm.
He came back and did a one and two for new people, and those that had already done one and two, we did three and four. So that's when I became a master, and then he bestowed me being a teacher as well. So that's how that all came about. And then he's come back another time. Yeah, he's been here three times. And again, then he did the one and two and the three and four. I didn't sit in on the one and two that time because they were all back to back, and you know, I got a business to run. But I did do the master's class a second time.
Mm.
So I've been through that twice. And then he also has a different focus type of workshop called the Golden Merkaba. And it kind of takes over where Dhruva Mo left off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat in on that too. And they're just really great. So that's how that all came about.
Mm.
All through Kevin. I hope to have Kevin on the show one of these days.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely go and check that one out as well. And I never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's relatively new.
Yeah,
and you know, Metatron says it's the healing of the next moment, the next wave of healing.
Yeah.
And of course, I've been doing it on Tino.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will send some distance that away.
Thank you. I know you have a nice connection with him too.
Yeah.
And you do good work with animals, with our four-legged babies.
Yeah. Well, this was great. Your first show. Yahoo!
Well, you know, I did 15 weeks on a different station.
I know.
Yeah.
But on this
But
on
this
network.
One, yeah, this is
yeah.
my debut.
Well, congratulations, my dear.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch.
Yes, definitely. Oh, and I have to tell you this.
Okay.
I renewed your domain name.
Oh, you did.
I did because
okay.
because you have traffic on that website, And if I didn't, one of those crummy things would
take it.
Grab it, and you'd have all these weird links on it. And I thought, well, you know.
Okay, we'll talk. We'll talk
yeah,
later.
Yeah, I just thought, well, I just didn't want that to happen to
you. Okay, okay.
So
I'm working through some stuff here around it, so we'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yes, much love.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, Trunka.
Bye. Well, let's see. I'm 10 minutes over, so I guess I better get off. And this has been, I've had a lot of fun on this show, and so I'm sure that will continue. And please visit my website, and please sign up for my mailing list, my little email mailing list. And I'm available for private sessions and for healing sessions and for, I have this beautiful line of skincare that Saint Germain brought forth that's making us all look young and break the collective consciousness's hardcore thoughts about aging and what a certain year must look like on your face, and we're going to smash that concept all to smithereens, and vibrational sprays, and the actual elixir of life that Saint Germain drank and stayed looking fabulous for over 300 years in the same body. So all of that's on the website, and I will be back next week, same time, same station. So I wish everyone a wonderful week, and violet blessings to you all. Bye-bye.